Those of us who were here last Sunday had a chance to experience a wonderful God moment. Do you remember how it happened at the early point of the service last week? Jeff Pilling was in charge of the Word for Children, and he came up front, and his goal was to tell the children the story of Zacchaeus. But what happened was that very early on, he lost control of that setting in absolutely the best way possible. Because what happened was the children began to tell him the story. And it, what a joy it was to be here to listen to them, not only share the facts of the story with Jeff and the rest of us, but also it was clear that they had caught the excitement and the joy and the passion that's a part of this conversion experience of Zacchaeus. And they were filled with excitement as they shared that story. And I'm hoping that this morning we can revisit that excitement and we can claim the passion of that story as our own. Let's go back and check again just to make sure we heard everything that Dave just read for us. Jesus was about 12 miles from Jerusalem, and he was down in the sea level city of Jericho, one of the oldest constantly inhabited places on the earth. It's a beautiful place. And he's there, and a crowd of people greets him. The crowd is so large that it's kind of hard if you're not not tall to see Jesus. And so one apparently short person decides that what they'll do is climb a tree to make sure they have a look at Jesus. And so up that tree, Zacchaeus goes. And here's where things begin to change, because when Jesus gets to that tree, he looks up and he says, "Zacchaeus, it's time for you and me to spend some time together. Come down. I need to be a guest in your home this day." That sounds like Bible language for Jesus looking at Zacchaeus and saying, "Let's do lunch." And down Zacchaeus comes. And now, usually we get an account of what happened in these encounters. In this story, we don't. All we see are the results. When that lunch is over, Zacchaeus is a changed man with changed behavior. And he says to Jesus, "I'm going to straighten out my ways. I'm going to give half of everything I own." Not to the church. He says, "I'm going to give half of everything I own to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone, if I've defrauded anyone, I will pay them back four times what I stole. I will be a new person." That's just a wonderful, wonderful story about conversion. Conversion, ultimately just means making a 180 degree turn and going in a brand new direction. And here's Zacchaeus showing us how to do it. But I suspect that all of us, in some way, shape, and form, have had an encounter with Jesus that turned our lives in the direction of our being disciples. But there are some problems with that. I want you to think back to high school, maybe junior high school. Do you remember that first crush you had on someone else, your first boyfriend? Even if that boy didn't know that he was your boyfriend, or that first girlfriend and how wonderful that crush felt? Do you also remember when the passion of that experience began to fade? And before you knew it, that feeling wasn't there anymore. Sometimes conversion can be like that. When you move from that powerful experience with Jesus to then building a long-term relationship, things tend to cool off a little bit. As we said in our call to worship, this journey is a difficult thing to do. Being a Christian is not the easiest thing in the world to be and do. And so the relationship cools off. And pretty soon you find that your relationship with Jesus is more casual, more distanced, cooler, sometimes a bit of an inconvenience. And no matter how you try, it's difficult to put the passion back in that relationship. There's a certain spiritual dullness that occurs, a lack of energy about the faith. And you yearn for more. You want better than that. Now, that's not just something that happens to casual followers of Jesus. That's something that happens to very dedicated followers, something that happens to clergy. I was at my clergy group meeting last Thursday with 8 other clergy, And we agreed that there were 3 or 4 of us in the room that were having that kind of experience right now. And we were working with each other to strengthen that relationship. This is part of the reason why we pay so much attention to Lent. We've selected it as a time when we focus on these kinds of issues about our relationship with Jesus. And we recognize that the spiritual life is not all mountaintop experiences, and that it doesn't come naturally or easily. This is one of the reasons why I wanted to have the story of Zacchaeus read. You notice this is not just happening out of the blue to Zacchaeus. He makes an intentional effort to go and find Jesus and to see what it's all about. And that's true for us too. I want to suggest to you that if we are to have a passionate relationship with Jesus Christ, it's not doing us any good if what we do is simply hang around waiting for Jesus to produce a mountaintop experience for us. We have responsibility for going and opening our hearts and looking for that experience with Jesus. Well, I was thinking about this, on Thursday, as I said, with the other clergy, and I thought that what I wanted to offer you today about this was simply 3 very simple suggestions for you about re-energizing your spiritual life. One of the things that you might want to do this Lent is simply to remember and emphasize one scripture in your life. Is there some scripture that used to mean a great deal to you, but you haven't thought about it for a long while? I've decided that this Lent, I'm going to pay attention to the story found in Matthew 25. It's the story that Jesus tells about the sheep and the goats. But the punchline of the story is that Jesus says, when the day of judgment comes and all the people of the world are gathered around God's feet, sitting at God's feet, and it is time for judgment, only one question will be asked. And that question, as Jesus tells it in Matthew 25, is, did you feed my sheep? The question's not, did you believe everything that that I taught you. It's not, did you believe everything that all your different churches taught? It's, did you feed my sheep? That scripture was tremendously powerful in the early days of my ministry and guided how I made choices for where I ministered. But I've set it aside somewhere along the way, and I want to go back and look at that. Well, maybe you have a scripture like that, or maybe there's one you remember. I would suggest you do that. I mean, type it up and put it on your refrigerator door or wherever you go past it several times a day. And just live with it and let it grow in you and let it mature your faith. One scripture for this Lent. Another thing would be is to choose one group and to actively participate in it. Some of you are doing that with our Lenten series programs. Yesterday, I was here at the church at 8 a.m. with the gathering of men. It's a wonderful group of about 20 men that Pastor Daniel and I meet with about once a month. And I sat there, and in that session, I saw these men ranging from early 50s to late 80s, I think. And we sat there, and with a spiritual maturity that we had, we shared concerns about our own lives and concerns about others, and we shared joys, and we thought about how we could care for one another, and we lifted each other up in prayer. We lifted people who couldn't be there up in prayer. And I came away renewed and strengthened, and how much we'd done church there yesterday morning. It's a wonderful experience, and I would encourage you to do that. Find a place where you have people where you can share love and laughter, where you can share growth and support. And a third thing would be to commit yourself to one service project and live with it. Whether it's working locally at Second Harvest, or whether it might be joining with the others here in the church that are getting energized and deeply involved in jail ministry, or whether it would be signing on to go somewhere in Central America or Africa and dig water wells or whatever the case might be. Find something to do for other people where you won't expect anything in return. These are the kind of moments, these are the kind of experiences that will serve as your climbing the tree that Zacchaeus did to see Jesus. They will provide you opportunities to connect with Jesus and to re-energize your faith. If you do one or all of those, I believe that your faith will deepen and broaden. Coming to worship on Sunday mornings will become even more meaningful. And here's the payoff, the big payoff for you. The kind of passion that will grow in you will spill over into other parts of your life. Your sense of satisfaction for yourself, your relationships with your family, how you interact with your job, whether it helps you to appreciate it more or whether it helps you to decide you don't appreciate it much and you want to move on to something else. That passion will spill over and make all of your life better. I saw a Ziggy cartoon a while back. I don't know whether you ever read them, but Ziggy is perpetually depressed, and he's walking past a yogurt store, and the sign says, "If you eat our yogurt, it will add years to your life." And his comment is, "If the yogurt could add life to my years, I'd buy some." That's what this kind of experiencing will do. If you're willing to climb up into that tree like Zacchaeus, intentionally look for that aha moment with Jesus, you may find that passion for the faith and living as his disciple will regrow in your life. And it seems to me that today is a perfect day to begin that. As we share in the quiet of the communion time here, it might just be the time for you to remember that special scripture or to recall that special experience or to think about where you might like to serve and encounter Christ. It might be the very place where you would discover that you really do want to embrace passion for Lent.